Well, it's my joy to be able to share the Word of God with you tonight. Last week, Aaron kicked off our new message series on Seeds of Truth. And he focused on our church-wide focus for the entire year. And you're going to hear this from the pastors over and over and over again, partly for our own benefit and just so that it sinks in for all of us. We are looking at going deeper. Deeper in our relationship with God, deeper in our relationship with each other, deeper in our faith, deeper in our service, in our witness, in our care for ourselves, in everything. And this theme of deeper is rooted in Ephesians 3, verses 17 through 19, which Aaron focused on last week. But I wanted to read it to us again. It says, "And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is. And to experience this love for yourselves, though it is so great that you will never see the end of it or fully know and understand it. And so at last you will be filled up with God himself." That is our focus for this year, and I'm excited about it. And between now and Lent, we're going to be looking for seeds of truth, specifically that we can glean from some of the agricultural parables that we find in the New Testament. And the one that we're going to be looking at tonight is the beginning of chapter 13 in Matthew. It's not the beginning of it, but in Matthew 13, Jesus has been teaching the disciples and the crowds, and he goes through a series of parables specifically geared at these agricultural themes. And so we're going to start with the first one. It's commonly referred to as the parable of the soils. Or something similar to that. I think we had earlier the dirt and the devil or something like that. But whatever it is, it comes from Matthew 13, verse 3 through 9. And then I'm going to pick up again with Jesus' explanation, 18 through 23. So hear now the word of God. He, meaning Jesus, said many things to them in parables. A farmer went out to scatter seed. As he was scattering seed, some fell on the path. The birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where the soil was shallow. They sprouted immediately because the soil wasn't so deep. But when the sun came up, it scorched the plants, and they dried up because they had no roots. Other seed fell among the thorny plants. The thorny plants grew and choked them. Other seed fell among good soil and bore fruit. In one case, a yield of 100 to 1. In another case, a yield of 60 to 1. In another case, a yield of 30 to 1. Everyone who has ears should pay attention. Then he goes on to explain it to his disciples later. Consider then the parable of the farmer. Whenever people hear the word about the kingdom and don't understand it, the evil one comes and carries off what was planted in their hearts. This is the seed of that which was sown on the path. As for the seed that was spread on rocky ground, this refers to people who hear the word and immediately receive it joyfully, but they have no roots. They last for only a little while, and then they experience distress or abuse because of the word, and they immediately fall away. As for the seed that was spread among the thorny plants, this refers to those who hear the word, but the worries of this life and the false appeal of wealth choke the word, and it bears no fruit. As for what was planted in good soil, this refers to those who hear and understand and bear fruit and produce, in one case, a yield of 100 to 1, in another case, a yield of 60 to 1, and in another case, a yield of 30 to 1. The word of God. For us, the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord of immeasurable depth and love, pour out your Holy Spirit on each of us gathered here, so that as the scripture has been read and your word is now proclaimed, that we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. So is anyone here a gardener or a self-proclaimed green thumb? Any of you? You're allowed to raise your hand. Yeah. Okay, so if that's you, then you're one of the people who actually gets dirt, and you get sunshine and water and the cycles of the earth, and you're able to understand intuitively how those things work together and bring about new life. And that is awesome, because the world needs people like you to counteract people like me. No matter how hard I try, I am anything but a green thumb. In fact, some have called me a black thumb. I kill everything that has roots or anything that resembles a plant whatsoever. It is not safe in my midst. Friends have given me plants saying, "You cannot kill this plant." Trust me, I still kill the plant. There is no plant that... See, there you go. So I really am a black thumb. When it comes to our household, Aaron takes care of the lawn because I will kill it. The only thing I do every now and then is go out and trim back the bushes and pull the weeds. So essentially, I'm living into who I am. I am annihilating anything and everything that grows that we don't want growing there anymore. And you're probably wondering, so then why are you preaching on soils and agriculture? Because the good thing about this particular parable is that you don't have to understand agriculture, because Jesus goes ahead and explains to us what the parable is about. And he keeps it relatively simple for us. There are four soils, and even I can understand that. There is the packed down pathway that has been parched and maybe starting to crack, and it cannot receive anything. Things just bounce off of it or get brushed to the side. And then there's that thin soil that generally has rocks underneath it, so things can't penetrate deep. It's very shallow. And then there's the thorny soil, or what most translations call, the CEB calls it thorny, others use the word weeds, but it's that infested soil, and I understand that too, because sometimes our grass gets weeds, and he takes care of that part, because if I get too close to the grass, I'll kill the good stuff. And then there's the good soil, the fruitful soil. And the farmer in the parable is not disclosed, but if you have any question about it, it's God. God is the farmer. He's the one who's spreading the seeds. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through God's word. That is the seeds that he is spreading through God's word and through the love and the grace that then penetrates into those soils. And the idea of the fruit that is supposed to be born, most theologians point to scriptures like Galatians. When we talk about fruit in the New Testament, we're talking about fruits of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 describe it this way. It's the love, the joy, the peace, the kindness and patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. As we grow in God's grace and exhibit these godlike characteristics, then we become vessels through which God can plant seeds of truth into other people's lives. And that's where that idea of the 30, 60, or the 100-fold multiplication comes in. It's that repetition of this cycle over and over again, either within our own lives, but more importantly, in the lives of others, that builds the kingdom. This ongoing cycle not only baffles me, but it makes me just stand in awe of who God is. And it made me ponder this past week my own story. Many of you know I grew up as a Jew, and that is still true. At 16, I encountered Brent Jeffers while I was traveling in Hawaii during my spring break senior concert tour, hodgepodge travel arrangement, 10 days in Hawaii. As a senior, it was pretty exciting. Brent Jeffers was staying in our hotel, and he and I just kept running into each other. And one afternoon, we began a conversation about Jesus by the pool. And at that point in my life, I could not have been more rock-hard soil like the path that just wanted it all to bounce off and go away. But he kept inviting me to a concert that he was having and asked about what we were doing there, and he didn't give up. The next day, he drove in the rain on a scooter 2 hours to get to the place where we were going to be performing, showed up drenching wet, just to show that he was interested in what we were doing and to invite me one more time to the concert that he was going to be performing in. Turns out that he was traveling with the Christian group that totally ages me, Striper. Anybody here know who Striper? Yeah, okay, so I'm aging myself, I know. I knew who Striper was. They are a Christian rock group back in the, I guess, 80s. Yeah, it was the 80s. And I didn't want anything to do with this Christian rock group, but he came to my concert, so I said, okay, fine, I will come to your concert. And I did. And the combination of our conversations and his effort that he made and the concert and the power of the Holy Spirit changed my life forever. I experienced God's love wash over me like never before. And this Jesus that I had heard about and heard about from other people finally became real to me. And I've never been the same. It literally changed the entire course of my life. And I went from being that hard soil that didn't want to hear about Jesus to being soft, fertile soil that wanted to know what it was to live and follow Christ. And as I thought about the impact that that had on my life, I thought about Brent Jeffers, who I've never spoken to since. He has no idea that that 16-year-old he talked about or talked to and went and saw in the rain and then talked to later became a pastor and now has the joy of serving people here in Gainesville and journeying with them. And as I thought about that and how often we don't get an opportunity to see the impact that we might have in other people's lives, but we have to trust that those seeds are planted and God will bring out that harvest in due time. I thought about this past Sunday and the gift that that was, because this past Sunday in worship, we invited people to affirm their baptisms, remember their baptisms, remember who they are in God. But we also made the invitation that if you had never been baptized before, to let us know if that was something that you wanted to do, and we would make sure you were baptized in the service. We had 3 people take us up on that invitation. And so Gail and Bob Cortison were baptized at the 8:15 service. And some of you may know Anthony Mankin. He serves as our Sunlight drummer and assistant director, Sunlight director. And he has been serving in this church for 5 years. And he was baptized. He stayed and was baptized in the 11 o'clock service. And I am still overjoyed by this. I am still getting goosebumps when I talk about this, because when he came to Trinity 5 years ago, he came saying that he had been raised in a home where there was no faith, per se. His mom had had a faith that she had kind of walked away from, and his dad was an atheist, proclaimed atheist. And over the last 5 years, you all have planted seeds into his life, seeds that have helped hard soil that was skeptical become shallow and then more fruitful. And God has poured out his Spirit on him through being in our worship services. And over the last 6 months, I have had the privilege and joy, as I've been working with the 940 Worship Band, of working very closely with him. And we have had a number of conversations about theology and spiritual things that he's been wrestling with. And so to see him raise his hand and say, yes, I want to be a follower of Christ, in my mind, is nothing short of a miracle. nothing short of the rebellious 16-year-old who was hurting when she encountered God's love being transformed. And it's been so neat to be around him ever since, because I don't know if you're familiar with Andrew, but he tends to be a little bit more reserved, but he's been beaming, and he just has a smile on his face, and the smile hasn't stopped, and it's just so much fun, and I love it. And this is the joy of what it means to allow ourselves to be good soil that then allows God to work in and through us. And I know that it's not just me having conversations with him. This is a testament to everything Trinity is about. And it's something that we should be celebrating, because praise God, God is using us, even when we're not perfect, to shine light into other people's lives who have never known that love had it not been for coming here and being among us. So I praise God for that. Anybody else join me? Amen? Amen. So as I've thought about this parable, there's one other thing that kind of stood out to me. And that was the aspect of the dirt. The dirt is certainly used as a metaphor for the condition of our soul and our hearts. But like most things in Scripture, there's always another layer, a little deeper that you can go with this. And one of the things that I noticed that at no point in this parable is there any question at all about whether or not the dirt is still dirt. It's dried out. It's packed in, it's hard, it's resistant, it's rocky, it's thorn infested. But at no point does the dirt stop being dirt, which made me think of our origins. Genesis 2 tells us, the Lord God formed the human from the topsoil of the fertile land and blew life's breath into his nostrils. The human came to life. The Hebrew word for dirt in that passage is ha adama. The Hebrew word for human being is Adam. Do you catch it? Ha adama, Adam. This means that human beings are God-breathed dirt, formed in God's image to produce God-like and Christ-like fruit. We are dirt made to bear joy and love and kindness and goodness and patience and gentleness and self-control and all of those characteristics of God in the world. That is our job. That is our purpose. That is what we are. Which means that as Jesus is trying to teach his disciples about the kingdom of God, and like them, we wonder, so where is this kingdom of God that you speak of? We don't have to look very far, because we are the dirt through which God's kingdom is coming, and God's will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are the dirt in which God plants his love deep down inside of us and breathes new life into us. Sometimes, undoubtedly, we allow ourselves, even as believers, to become hard and dried out, worn out. We become the pathway and resistant to God's love and grace that he keeps scattering over our lives. At no point did God stop scattering the seed and say, nope, the path doesn't get it. Everyone got the seed. The grace continues to flow to us. Sometimes we insist on our own way rather than allowing God to water our pathway with life-giving water that restores it to its intended purpose. There's other times where we allow the rocks and the hurts and the pains of our life to kind of build up underneath, and we don't take care of those things. And so the depth of our soil to receive God's grace and to bear the fruits of the Spirit becomes shallow. God is longing to just help us move those boulders out of the way so that our soil can become rich and deep. Where there's the thorns or the weeds that crop up in our soil. And this can come from outside influences or it can come from right within us. It's those things like pride or greed or worry, distrust, fear, that having spent time trying to cultivate good soil, those things crop up. And rather than turning to the Word of God, we allow those things to overshadow the Word of God. And then it gets harder and harder and harder for us to sense God's presence. In all of those things, God's grace never stops seeking us out. Those seeds keep raining down on us. God's living water keeps being flowed into our lives in various ways. And all we have to do is to begin to respond. And as we respond, God pulls all that out of the way, whether it's the hardness or the rocks or the thorns. And he redeems and revives us and helps us become the God-breathed dirt that we were created to be. We are the soil of new creation. So many times we look at the world and go, where is God? Why is new creation taking so long? Well, the answer lives within us. We are the soil. And as we turn our lives towards God, and as we allow ourselves to dig deeply into God's word and pray and embrace those spiritual disciplines that Aaron spoke about last week, and as we examine ourselves in the light and love of the Holy Spirit, that soil is renewed. God never gives up hope, and we are never too far gone. The soil of who we are, the core of who we are, can never be obliterated. And God's grace renews us, and then we become life-giving sources to those around us. And then we continue to see fruit like Andrew and Gail and Bob becoming new baptized believers and committing themselves to following Christ. And this is how the kingdom grows. And this is how we support one another. We dig deeper and we become deeper dirt. Not shallow, but deep. And we allow God's roots of love and grace to permeate every aspect of our lives. And so in order to do that, I want you to do two things this week. The first one is I want you to really ponder the really good things that are happening around you. No matter how difficult circumstances might be, there's got to be something worth celebrating going on. God is always at work. And if it's not something that's directly impacting you, celebrate the things that you know of that are happening in our community. And I want you to really give thanks and praise God for those things. As Christians, I think sometimes we are just too silent and too modest, and we worry that everyone's going to think we're prideful if we start shouting out from the rooftops the great things that are happening. But we need that in our lives. Our world needs to know that God is at work. So when someone gets baptized, we shout out to everybody that we can. Somebody came to life. New life. It's okay to allow joy to wash over us and consume us because it bubbles out and overflows into those areas that are dry or into other people's lives that are so parched that they need to hear some good news. And then the second thing I want you to do, I don't know which one will be the harder. I guess it depends on your personality. Second thing I want you to do is ponder those areas in your life where you might have a hardened heart, where your soil on a particular issue might be more like the pathway that resists God's grace or direction. Or maybe you've got some boulders in your life that God wants to help you remove. Some hurts or some hang-ups that are keeping you from living into who you were created to be. And you've been burying them under some shallow soil. But God really wants you to let him help you remove those so that your soil can go deeper. Or maybe there's some thorns in your life that you need God's help to weed out. I don't know what that looks like for you, but if you're like me, there's always at least one of those things that I can be working on. And so this week, prayerfully go to God with that and allow his grace and his love to wash over you. Again and again and again, as much as it takes for the soil to become soft and deeper and fruitful in every possible way. May that be so for each of us this week. And may you be deep and fruitful dirt. Amen.